From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. There's more than one Independence Day celebrated on American soil. Juneteenth is gaining recognition, but many Americans still don't understand its significance. National Park Ranger Anokwale Anansi Semfo unravels the history behind the holiday that commemorates the proclamation of the end of slavery. Then Cherie Booker, author and spoken word artist, previews her talk at Enoch Pratt Free Library and shares what she hopes Juneteenth will become.
I want it to feel like 4th of July. I want people to recognize this holiday. I think there needs to be more celebrations. I think it needs to be mainstream, right? We hear Juneteenth, but no one knows what it is.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. Most Americans know July 4th as Independence Day. But another day of independence in the United States that holds great significance, though it's not as well known, is Juneteenth. It commemorates promulgation of the news that slavery had been abolished. It's marked annually on June 19th. Later in the show, we'll meet a spoken word artist to get a preview of the performance she'll present at Enoch Pratt Free Library in celebration of Juneteenth. Joining us now to provide background on the holiday is National Park Ranger Anokwale Anansi Semfo. She regularly gives tours at the Hampton National Historic Site in Towson, where there'll be a Juneteenth celebration this Sunday, June 16th, from 2 to 4 p.m. She's also president of the Griot Circle of Maryland. Welcome, Anokwale.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Tell us more about June 19th. It's connected to the Emancipation Proclamation, but President Lincoln issued that in January 1863.
Yes, and people over the years, and just with anything, with history, it actually means his story, things have gotten twisted along the lines. So that Emancipation Proclamation really did not free anyone. It was really a political tool that President Lincoln issued. But even Frederick Douglass said it was enough. But somewhere along the line, things got twisted. So
it didn't free anyone because it applied only to the states that were in rebellion.
That's correct. And states like here, Maryland, where we were split down the middle, 50-50, as far as people being for slavery and against slavery, even where I work at Hampton National Historic Site, the Ridgelys, who were an extremely wealthy family, they didn't even represent 1% of the population. The owner at that time would have been John Ridgely. So in public, he professed to be a Union man, but in private, he was actually a Southern sympathizer. So somebody like him, who was a slaveholder, that proclamation actually was more advantageous for him because he wasn't in rebellion, at least not publicly, to the Union. So he could maintain all the enslaved people that he wanted to. So the Emancipation Proclamation just actually just pertained to those who were in rebellion of the Union. So slaveholders.
So that's where things stood during the last years of the Civil War.
Yes.
Okay. But then how do we get to Juneteenth? How do we get to June 19th, 1865?
Okay. So April 1865 was when the Civil War ended. And the people in Galveston, Texas, they did not hear about that the war ended and now slavery has been abolished. So Major General Gordon Granger, I believe was his last name, at the time came in and told these people who were in bondage in Galveston, Texas, well, you know what? Well, slavery ended a couple months ago. So that's when they found out that they were freed. But even then, people, because of segregation and racism, what have you, even still, history tells us that people still were in bondage because slaveholders still did not even want to relent that free labor, that forced labor. So those who could be freed and left, they did. but you still had people still in bondage. I read one account, one woman said that 6 years afterwards of this proclamation or abolishment of slavery, she was still on that same plantation, and her mistress was still whipping her just like she was
six years later. Did she eventually leave?
Yes. But it wasn't because she did not, and people like her, did not want to leave. They really didn't have anywhere to go, because you're talking about people who didn't own anything, and you're somewhere far south like Texas. I mean, it's kind of hard to get up to the north or places where you can have a better life.
So it was that Texas moment that became the template to celebrate the end of slavery.
Yes.
In all the states.
Yes. And even prior to the end of the Civil War in 1865, many of the slaveholders saw the handwriting on the wall, and there was a mass exodus. Historians actually estimate 500,000 enslaved people moved from other southern states to Texas because the slaveholders knew that the word would get down there slowly, so they were able to maintain their enslaved that way. This is another little known history.
I didn't know that at all. How is Juneteenth celebrated now?
Well, it's a big deal, if you will, in Texas, because that is their holiday. But in the interest of the African experience in America, more and more people in the diaspora in America, African diaspora that is, have taken up the mantle and want to celebrate this emancipation of all people, but especially those in Texas. But we look at it as our holiday because that's when everybody was freed. Like here in Maryland, emancipation came November the 1st, 1864. And New Jersey, I believe, was 1862. So it varied where you were in the country.
That's National Park Ranger Anokwale Anansisemfo here on The Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about Juneteenth, a day to commemorate the abolition of slavery in the U.S. Give us some background on the Hampton Historic Site. Where is it? What happened there?
Actually, Hampton National Historic Site once belonged to the Ridgely family. And what is so incredible about this site is that just about everything you see there is original, and it's more than 200 years old. At one point, it was not only one of the largest slave plantations in Maryland, but it was one of the largest in the United States, because at its zenith, it comprised of 25,000 acres. But the Ridgelys were...
And this is north of Baltimore.
Right. Actually, you can walk from Towson Mall to there. It's only a mile and a half, and people don't know that we're there. We were voted twice the best-kept secret in Maryland. And it's free, so I implore your listeners to come visit us, and we're open Thursday through Sunday, and you'll get to walk the grounds of people who are in bondage. And it's not just about the African experience. This family also had 300 European indentured servants between the years 1750 and 1800 from England, Ireland, and Germany. And they treat those Europeans the same way they treat the Africans. They're being whipped, same lousy clothes, same crappy food, all that. So this is American history.
And this was essentially a farm? What was grown there?
Well, it was a plantation. So actually, the mansion, when you come, the site was actually the Ridgely summer home. So the mansion was finished in 1790, and we're pretty sure, because we haven't found anything to the contrary to the date, that was the largest private home in the United States when it was finished, and it was their summer home.
What can visitors expect at the Hampton site in celebration of Juneteenth?
Well, when you come, and it's Father's Day, so bring dads out for a treat. Wombworks Productions, they are a group of singers, spoken word artists, African drumming. They will give you some history of Hampton and what it would have been like to be in bondage there during this time period, the antebellum time period, through song, word, and drumming. And myself, I will be dressed in antebellum period clothing, and I will give one of my signature tours. However, we have new information about those who are in bondage there. So if you come before, come again, because you're going to hear something new.
Give me a hint. Tell me one new fact you have.
Well, the Sandy Bottom area, where now the Towson Jail sits, at one point that was a community of freed black people. And the people who were freed from bondage, some of them were from Hampton. So I want you to wrap your mind around this. Now the jail that sits there incarcerates the second largest number of black bodies in Maryland and the largest jail population of people in of African descent in the entire United States. So you're talking about from bondage to bondage. So
that's a big thought.
Yes, it is.
You are involved in a wide range of projects. You recently started a group to mentor African-American girls called Black Diamonds Girls Club. Tell us about that.
Yes, Black Diamonds Girls Club, Rare, Beautiful, and Indestructible. It was just placed on my spirit in February that our young ladies, they're actually not growing up to be young ladies any longer. And the girls have gotten to the point where they're behaving as badly as the boys, sometimes even worse. So we're just going to go to old school etiquette, teaching young ladies how to become phenomenal women and helping to restore that divine feminine energy that has been lost in this world. So these girls will be catalysts for that restoration of divine feminine energy. We're going to deal with STEM, take them on trips around. There's so much history right here in culture. So once a month we'll be doing that. We'll have guests speaking. I happen to be a vegetarian slash vegan. I'm not trying to make everybody a vegetarian, but everybody needs vegetables. So you can learn how to eat well, mindfulness, meditation. It just goes on.
How often will they meet?
Once a week, and we're meeting right on North Avenue at the Impact Hub, which is between St. Paul and Charles Street. So we'll be meeting Fridays and one Saturday out of the month. That's when we'll go on our trips, our monthly trips.
What's your vision for what girls will get out of this experience?
That you have a friend, because this is for everyone. Any girl can join, but we're targeting girls who are socially, economically disadvantage. And this is a hard time to grow up in. It's different times, but it's hard. So I've had many women step up. I mean, they're really excited about mentoring these young ladies. And we just want them to know that there is someone there for you and just help you become that phenomenal woman.
It sounds wonderful. I wish you luck with it. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you.
National Park Ranger Anokwale Anansi Semfo leads tours at the Hampton National Historic Site in Towson. To mark Juneteenth, a day commemorating the abolition of slavery in the U.S., she'll host a special event at the Hampton site Sunday from 2 to 4 p.m. We have a link to more information at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. After a short break, we'll talk with the spoken word artist Cherie Booker about her upcoming performance for Juneteenth at Enoch Pratt Free Library. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us on the record.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking today about Juneteenth, the day commemorating the proclamation of the news that slavery had been abolished. It's marked annually on June 19th. We spoke earlier with National Park Ranger Anokwale Anansi Semfo. She leads tours at the Hampton National Historic Site in Towson and gave us background on the holiday. Joining us now is author and poet Cherie Booker. She'll be reading from her book of poetry, One Woman, One Hustle, at the Enoch Pratt Free Library next Wednesday, June 19th at 6:30 p.m. in celebration of Juneteenth as part of the Writers Live series. She's also author of 9 Years Under, a darkly comic memoir about coming of age in a black funeral home in Baltimore. Booker is a lecturer at Morgan State University in screenwriting, fiction writing, and English composition. Welcome to On the Record, Cherie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Your book, One Woman, One Hustle, is described as a vibrant and uplifting collection of poems that addresses the issues of today's young women. Tell us about it.
Yes. Well, this is actually a reprint. I originally published this book when I was a junior at the College of Notre Dame, which is now Notre Dame of Maryland University. And I realized that some of these poems were still relevant today. One of the poems that I wrote in there was called Endangered Black Man. I had watched a television show. I think it was Dateline or something along that lines. And I saw a black boy that was accused of a crime involving a young white girl, and he didn't do it, and he did some time in jail. And so I started to write this poem. And I guess back then I was already a little woke, even being that young, and a lot of the poems were still relevant. I also realized that I did not have a backup to this copy of my book. So
Really, this book that you published, this was about how many years ago you first published
15 it? 15 years ago.
And it literally was in danger of disappearing because there weren't enough paper copies?
Well, here's the thing. So there was an electronic copy, but 15 years ago, I couldn't remember if it was on a floppy disk, a hard drive, or a USB. It's in my parents' home somewhere. I just did not know where to begin to look. So I literally had to go back and type these poems by hand, redo the entire process. And along the lines, I added some new poems as well.
What's new in this republished book?
The book is called One Woman, One Hustle. And kind of what it meant back then and what it means today is so different. I think when I first published it, I just liked that title. It sounded fresh and, you know, interesting at the time. And now I realize how important it is for women to use their voices. And so many women have found a place, even online and social media, to really speak up. And so I think that using our voices to pretty much combat everything, it's a great time to be a woman, to speak out, to talk about the things that you should be speaking about.
And speaking out is a big part of what you're focusing on here. You say losing your words is the worst type of violence.
I actually wrote that poem when I was on my way to India a little while ago. And just thinking of all of the people that are suffering in the world, I think that right now we're in a place where everyone's ultra sensitive, and so we really don't know what to say. Our freedom of speech is being threatened every single day. You know, anything that we say can be taken out of context. And I think a lot of people are afraid to speak up, to say what they need to say. And that's why it's so important that we have the Me Too movement and things like that going on, so that people know that they're not alone to speak out. Because when we don't tell our stories, when we don't speak up, when we allow someone else to control the narrative, then we're doing a disservice to ourselves. We're doing a disservice to our communities. It's very dangerous.
I'd love people to hear one of your poems. Would you read Harriet?
Sure.
And what should we know?
I actually wrote this piece about Harriet Tubman a few years ago. I was a teacher at the Baltimore Leadership School for Young Women, and I was in charge of the after-school poetry program, and they would just come up with different things, and this is one of the poems that I wrote. When I hear your name, I want to scream. How could you be so courageous, so bold, so bout it, so cold? How could you cross an invisible line with hundreds of souls that were sold, that were beaten, that were ready to fold? I wonder how you could make them believe that a slave could choose to be free. How you could get them to travel beneath the concrete, threaten them with a pistol so your secret wouldn't seep. How could you be so deep? So human. How could you be so bad but all woman? How could you be? How could you lead? How could you breathe with all that responsibility? How could you be the emblem of Black history and still be a lady?
That's powerful. Why did you want to write about Harriet Tubman?
You know, she was this fearless leader. And she essentially freed hundreds, maybe even thousands of slaves by creating this opportunity for them to escape. And, you know, I love the story of her having this pistol and kind of threatening them and, you know, just to keep this secret going on. And she's just an amazing woman, and I wanted to write about her.
That's Cherie Booker,
author and spoken word artist. Here on The Record on WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about her reading at Enoch Pratt Free Library next Wednesday in celebration of Juneteenth. Booker also received an NAACP Image Award in the category of Outstanding Literary Work from a debut author in 2014. That reading at Enoch Pratt is in celebration of Juneteenth. What does the holiday mean to you?
It's an amazing holiday. It's an underrated holiday. Most people don't know about Juneteenth. And it's essentially when slaves were freed in Texas. But it has not caught fire in the way that it needs to. You know, there are so many small little organizations that have events. It's always, you know, poets and griots and dancers. And I think the artists and the community kind of, you know, take the reins when it comes to Juneteenth. And I find it very interesting because Flag Day is just a few days before Juneteenth, and then 2 weeks.
Flag Day is June 14th.
June 14th, yep. And then a few weeks later, it's the 4th of July. And so I think it's also, it gets caught in that gap because school is out, right, around that time. And so, you know, it's not necessarily taught in school because everyone's out on summer break and it's summer vacation. And so it kind of gets lost in the wind. And so when I had the opportunity to partner with the Enoch Pratt Library, I definitely wanted to do something for Juneteenth because I think it's a wonderful holiday and more people need to know about it.
You said it hasn't caught fire the way it ought to. What do you envision? What would be the rightful place of Juneteenth?
I want it to feel like 4th of July. You know, I want people to recognize this holiday, the freedom of the end of slavery, right? When slaves really knew and recognized that they could actually be free. It wasn't easy for them after this announcement, but they were free essentially. And so I think there needs to be more celebrations. I think it needs to be mainstream, right? We hear Juneteenth, but no one knows what it is, right?
Would you read another poem for
Absolutely.
Us?
So this poem is called I'm Good on any MLK Boulevard, and this is about Martin Luther King. In my mind, the place where words meet history starts with Dr. Martin Luther King. And it makes me so angry that all I have of him is memories developed in black and white photography. Oh, the irony that I've never seen him in living color, but because of him, I live in color. I dream in color. But what about my brothers? I wonder why they choose the block named after him to shed blood. I wonder why MLK Boulevard isn't dripping in love, stained with his message, absent of drugs and hurt and pain. The place where poetry meets black history is the last place that freedom really rings.
Was there a specific event that prompted you to write that?
No. You know, it's kind of almost a lot of urban cities have a Martin Luther King Boulevard. And unfortunately, a lot of tragedies take place on Martin Luther King Boulevard. Tons of shootings, homicides, and it was just interesting to me that this goes on. Why that particular street? Why in so many different cities? And so that was me kind of pondering this idea of, you know, why isn't there more love on MLK Boulevard, you know?
What is the difference between reading a poem on the page and experiencing it performed by the author?
There is no greater feeling than performing a poem. It's the greatest high in the world. I love to do it. Just to take ownership of your words, being able to give expression to the words that are meaningful, to ask the questions, to add the facial expressions, to give the attitude. You know, when we read something, we all read in our own distinct voices. So it's not going to sound the way the author wrote it or, you know, the way she's going to perform it. And so it's just I love to perform. It's my passion. It's, I think, my purpose here. And it's what I love to do.
What do you hope people take away from your reading on Juneteenth?
I hope that people come in and I hope that they feel inspired and encouraged. I hope that they will be able to be enlightened and to find their own voices, and not necessarily writing poems or performing poems, but just to find their voices to speak out, to tell their stories, their journeys. I think that's what we're missing right now, is that the things we go through in life, sometimes the purpose of them is to help other people and to share with other people. And I'm hoping that I will inspire other people to just share their stories.
Well, I think many people will find it inspirational. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Thank you.
Author and poet Cherie Booker. She'll be reading from her book of poetry, One Woman, One Hustle, at the Ina Pratt Free Library, 400 Cathedral Street in Baltimore, on Wednesday, June 19th at 6:30 p.m. in celebration of Juneteenth and as part of the Writers Live series. We have a link to more information about that and other Juneteenth events all at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Kast. Glad you're listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Kast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.